I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends his Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Welcome once again to the Holy Spirit Is With You. And as always, it's a blessing and an honor to be with you. I have a special guest on the program today, and that's Father Matt Guckin. And many of you know him. He's just a delight, and I would expect him to be calling in at any moment. And I invite you to call in. I know Father would love to hear from you. And so I would invite you to call in. Let me give you our phone numbers if you'd love to call in and you have maybe a greeting for Father Matt or a question for Father Matt or myself, or perhaps you'd like to just say hello to him. And that the phone number here is 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906, or you can call toll free anywhere else in the United States by dialing 1-888-34-FAITH. You want to dial that out, it's 1-888-343-2484. And with that, I'd like to welcome on the air, and I think this is our first time together on the air, Father Matt Guckin. How are you?
Hi, Kathleen. Long time no see.
Yeah. I'm good, thank God. And I'm just getting my voice back. I did have a rough, my listeners probably had a rough time hearing me the last two times, but praise God, my voice is back at laryngitis for a bit. So it's good to see you. Happy New Year to you.
Wait a minute, you sure that wasn't like a New Year's Eve?
I'm sure. You know me well. All kidding. Happy New Year to you.
Yes, thank you. Happy New Year.
I think the last time we saw each other actually was at Abbey Fest.
Isn't that a great event?
Always. And of course, I was giving a retreat. Yeah.
I think Megan Schreiber had told me, I think there was like 3,000 people there.
That's right.
Incredible.
It was incredible.
It's grown that in just 3 years.
It doubled.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it doubled.
Well, praise God. He wants to multiply our blessing.
Yes, he does indeed. And I want to thank you and thank God for the opportunity. We've been trying to do this for quite some time. I've known Father Matt for many years, and he's
20
just
years,
20 years. There you go. I'll never forget. I was doing a retreat at St. James and St. Jude, was it? St. Jude, and you were doing saying Mass there. And when I came out, I said, oh my gosh, after Mass, Father Matt, how are you? And I said, I haven't seen you in a long time. And you said, exactly 2 years. And then you named the months. I was like, wow, that is direct.
It's one of my many idiosyncrasies.
You
have a fascination with numbers and time.
Well, I'm delighted that we're able to do this today.
Thanks for the invitation. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Let me give you our listeners a little information about who you are. If those of you in the area don't know, or outside the area, I should say, don't know Father Matt Guckin, let me give you a little bit of a bio. He's a Philly boy. He's one of Philly's finest in our priesthood. I want to thank you for the gift of your priesthood, for your yes. And so he's one of our own. He grew up in Philadelphia, graduated from St. Tim's grade school and good old Father Judge High School. He went to Penn State and graduated with a degree in logistics, and he worked with a software and consulting firm in Washington, D.C. He entered the seminary, and that's in 1992, and he was ordained in 1999, and I met him right before he was ordained. So it was my blessing. Now, his first assignment was St. Cecilia's in Fox Chase, and then he was assigned to a theology teacher at Bishop Shanahan High School in Downingtown, and again, he was a chaplain at Bishop Shanahan High School. And if you're any of those kids are listening today, I'm sure you'll want to call in, because I know for a fact that when he left Shanahan, there were a lot of broken hearts. The young people absolutely adored him, and the faculty loved him. It was a hard transition for all those, as well as I'm sure it was for you, Father. Now his mission currently is the director of Catholic Identity for high schools and universities. He's assistant chaplain at the University of Pennsylvania also, and that's part-time. Well, what do you do to keep yourself busy?
It's funny, you mentioned Bishop Shanahan. I'm on my way out of there. I was visiting with my successor, Father John Donia, and he's done such a great job. And, you know, it's always very humbling. And you see somebody do what you did and love for so many years. Father Donia's doing a great job. But just with the job that I have now, a supportive role, administrative role, and out there, you know, all of our schools and universities, just supporting the Catholic identity to the extent that it's a tough job.
Yeah, indeed.
In such a secularized world, but it's just the world that Jesus came into, and the world God so loved so much that he sent his son into. So glad to serve the church in any way that I can with the gifts and weaknesses that I have. Do the best job that I can.
Well, you do a fine job.
You know what's funny, Kathleen? I've been in education all these years now, and the funny thing is, like, at best, I was an average student. it's one of the great ironies that
God has a sense of humor.
At best, I was an average student.
Oh, that's so funny.
It's just funny the way the Lord works. But then I always think, you know what? Moses talked like he had rocks in his mouth. He mumbled.
That's right.
God asked him to be his mouthpiece. So, you know, God writes straight with crooked lines. Just keep in mind that it's not my work, right, but it's his, that I've been allowed to participate in. Things usually go okay. When I get that mixed up, when things go bad.
I hear you. Matter of fact, it's funny you bring it up, Matt, because just the other day when I was in on Tuesday, I have a two-hour program on Tuesday as well. Every other is an hour. But one of the things I was talking about was just that you know, just as John the Baptist pointed and had the humility to recognize what his mission was and that he was definitely called, he was anointed for his mission, but he had the humility to know that it was God in him and through him working, so that he was humble enough to point always to Jesus. And really, that's pretty much what you're saying. Recognize our gifts for sure, because we don't want false humility. Just like you said, you know, I have gifts, but I know it's all God's work. And I've known you for a lot of years, and I can honestly say, if there's one thing that I really think is a beautiful gift that you have, is just that. It's to always point to Jesus, always saying that, you know you've been called, you know you've been called as a priest, you know he's given you great gifts, but you know who the gift giver is. And I think sometimes we do tend to get that, we can tend to forget sometime, and once in a while be a little arrogant and think it's us when we know it's absolutely the Lord. Let me ask you something. We mentioned your current position in regards to being the director of Catholic Identity. You've been actually one of the prophetic words I gave you 20-some years ago, little did we know, came through, because it was that you were gifted. It was before you were ordained. You were going to be gifted, and you were going to be a light to draw young people to the Lord. And you certainly have, Father. You have.
You know, Kathleen, it's weird. I remember you saying that to me, and I remember thinking, this woman's nuts.
Well, be the first.
Because, you know, you're in an academic environment in the seminary.
Right.
And then, you know, you're with mostly older people in a parish. And then my responsibility as a chaplain at Fox Chase Cancer Center, you're with the dying. And here comes this crazy lady saying, you have a gift with young people. Like, and she's nuts. Has she been drinking? What the hell?
I remember you telling me.
It's funny. You know what's funny? Like, not funny. Curious is, I think what young people are looking for is they're just looking for authenticity.
Yeah.
They're not looking for, the guy who's going to be a great football player or basketball player. Not this. And the football players are looking for that. But the priests, they're just looking for the one quality I think they value above all the others is authenticity. And I have very good friends. You know, Father Chris Walsh is a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Father John Nordeman is a good friend of mine. You know, I think they keep me honest, and hopefully as authentic as I can be.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the things that, you know, led to some of the fruitfulness that we had at Bishop Shanahan.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Great years, I have to say. And we had great kids at Shanahan. Came from great families.
And you've maintained those relationships, which really bears fruit of the witness that you were, because it wasn't just for a day or a time. I know for a fact that I see these young people when you run into them, and one of the things that I hear a lot of times from people that have known you as a teacher or as a chaplain, and one of the words that constantly surfaces, two words, real deal. That's what a lot of them say. He's the real deal, Kathleen. He's the real deal. And I said, I knew he was the real deal long before you knew him. So,
well, thanks. Kathleen, that's about as high a compliment as I've ever received. So thank you very, very much. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All I'm going to say is thank God for the sacrament of reconciliation.
Amen. I agree.
That holds me accountable as well.
I agree. And one of the things with your new role, and I think you already hit it on the nail with yourself as a priest, but with all of us as people on a journey, young people, all ages, young at heart as well, we're called to be that witness, if you will, a white martyrdom, to be that witness for Christ, day in, day out, moment to moment. And in doing so, it's often not by what we say, so much by our words, but how we live. Are we living out the gospel? And that's what the whole world needs, really authentic witnesses. Because when we have authentic witnesses, that's what opens your heart and mind, because through grace, it's the grace of God that's flowing out of these people. And I imagine, particularly trying to open, you know, be an instrument in God's hands of opening the hearts and minds of young people in this, trying to find their Catholic identity, searching and searching. It's a challenge, I'm sure, but it's going to be a tremendous blessing when all of a sudden that light comes on, huh?
Excellent. And you know what? It's funny you say that. I remember specifically two instances at Bishop Shanahan where you could see it on the student's face that the light came on.
Yeah.
You know, it may have, I can't remember what I was trying to explain, but it may have been a particular doctrine, Eucharist, or human dignity, whatever. But I can still, I can't remember the one person, I remember the girl, Peggy Russell. I can still see her eyes just like lit up, and she said, "I got it." And that's very rewarding. Now, those are the ones I picked up on. As I told you, I'm at best an average student, so I don't pick up on everything. But one of the great things has been doing so many of their weddings, you know, since they graduated.
Yeah.
I was saying to Father Donia this afternoon that when I was out at Shanahan, I've only been gone 2 years there. And so that means half of the community, I don't even know.
That's right.
Because they've moved on. But I've been able to continue to minister them, to them, with them, walk with them, various stages of life, particularly the sacrament of marriage. And that's been a real blessing in my life, especially now being in administration.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy for me to become isolated. So this has been a great blessing, you know, seeing the fruit of some of my work and the work of so many others. And I get a chance to be there the day of the wedding, and also in marriage preparation.
Yeah.
It's been very rewarding. Working with young people, you know, sometimes they're your biggest joy. Other times they disappoint you because they're young. That's all.
Yeah.
Other reason.
Yeah. And we're still disappointing.
I'm not judged by what I did when I was a kid.
Amen. Thank God. Thank God. You know, one of the things, and I see it on Facebook a lot, I see you marry these young people. I see their families there, and many times see you with baptizing babies. And what a gift that has to be for a priest who has given up everything to follow Jesus, meaning, you know, a family of their own. And you really do take on a family, truly, when you are assigned to a parish or in a school. These kids became something very personal to you, not just a name or a number in a school. And I think that's what Jesus wants with us, right?
Yeah, definitely. And it's hard to do. I lived with a priest who you know very well.
Yeah.
Monsignor Ricci.
Right.
Who is so good at making the faith tangible. And he would always come back to, we are a sacramental people. Mm. Like, you have to make this something that's very tangible. And the way you do that is you practice your ministry. That you baptize the babies, you marry the couples, you bury the dead, you celebrate the masses, you hear their confessions. Like, the ministry itself will do that if you let it. You know, and let them into your lives. Having said that, Kathleen, I disagree a little bit in that it is different than say the family that you have. That intimacy. Usually, when I'm with people, you know, you're getting their best meal.
You know, yeah.
Best clothes on, and
I love you.
So they brush their teeth. So it is. You know, but it's after you get to know them for a while that they see you for really who you are. There's nothing special at all about me. I'm just simply called by God, chosen by God to do this great, great work that I've done. But yeah, it is beautiful. But the degree of the intensity of relationship isn't there that my brother Johnny would have
exactly
his family with his daughters.
Exactly.
But it's a beautiful life. I love that prayer by the Dominican, Bach Cordair, you know, about the beautiful life of the priest of God.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. I've seen it on many holy cards.
Yep.
But yeah. When I die, I want it on the back of my holy card.
I was at a priest's funeral not long ago, and, well, it's a couple of years now, and he had that read, and he loved that prayer as well.
Beautiful.
Yeah. You know, for you, you're a local boy, grew up in the city in Philadelphia. You've accomplished, all that God, not all, because God willing, he has a lot of work left for you to do, but you're accomplishing the work he has sent you to do. That's out, take his word out into the world. And I really have to say, teaching, to me, anyway, you have such an influence on another life. You have such an influence, for good or bad, depending on what kind of teacher you are. But seeing that and seeing the fruits in that, I bet there's people, like you say, you marry many of them now. For them to come back, you know that it was still a personal relationship that built that friendship. And really, we need that with the Lord, don't we? We need that personal relationship with Jesus. That first, before anything else. Because when we have that personal relationship with the Lord, we automatically then fall in love with his church. Fall in love with all that she teaches, knowing fully and completely that she is the bride of Christ. But it's in that personal relationship. And I think that's what I love when I see you. You enjoy being a priest because you really love the Lord. And it flows out of you and so many other priests. I've been blessed, really blessed in my life. My first ministry, believe it or not, was praying with priests. And my joy in my heart is to see priests and have the joy of the Lord flow out of them. Touches my
wow.
heart deeply, deeply. And I see that in you, and I see it in, I mean, Father Ricci. Oh my goodness. It was
amazing,
tangible. It was tangible.
Yeah, tangible. Yeah, that's what I always think of with Monsignor. He's just such. You know what, Kathleen? The priests I have lived with, I'm going to go down a list of guys.
Go ahead.
Right now. Top. These are guys whose rectories I've lived. Father Tom Sedano.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know if you know Father Sedano.
Yep.
He's a good man, and he's just really a good priest. Father, God rest his soul, Father Nick Donini, who died way too young.
Yeah, I didn't know him.
Monsignor McClure. I lived with Monsignor Lynn, who was such a good
man.
Oh,
yeah, yep, Billy.
Monsignor McClune, Father Rossi, Father Garcia, Father Brian Keane, Monsignor Chifo, Father Alex Gibbs. Now I'm living with Father Mackall and Father Kaczynski. These are really good people. I mean, I'll be honest with you, it's very humbling for me to just to see their life of prayer. They're just other guys. The guys I've mentioned, like Father Chris Walsh, and Father John Nordeman, Father Steve DeLacy. These are good guys.
Yeah.
I mean, these are really good, good men.
The real
Thanks
deal.
Monsignor Ricci. These are good guys.
Yep. Indeed. The real deal could be said about each and every one of them.
All of them.
You know, I was just at a funeral before I came here this morning. A friend, a family friend from years and years ago, and Father Bellapiti and here Father Kane was there. You just, he is, again, this Father Bellapiti, I think you know Father Lou, right?
Oh, I did his 40 hours a couple years ago.
Oh, okay. Well,
He really is.
He certainly has. Well, he was saying the Mass, and he actually stopped for a moment and got all choked up. And he was saying that he was talking about the deceased person, and he said what an impact he had on his life. And I think that's what it's all about. Ralph was on, you know, Thursday. He'll be on a little while, Monsignor Ralph Chifo.
And do me a favor. He owes me $20.
Oh, you're a riot. Well, he said to me, he said on the air last week, he said, Kathleen, like 40 years ago, gave me a word. He said, I still carry it in my Bible. And it has come to pass time and time again. And one of the things I wrote on his, aside from giving him a personal word, was we are all called. You're called as a priest to bring out the very best in all the laity that you come in contact with. But the laity is called to bring out the very best in the priest as well. And I think that's so true. I mean, it might have been 40 years ago that I told him that, but I believe it. I forgot about it till he just said it on the air. It's so true, isn't it? A priest.
It's hard to do.
Yeah.
It's a simple concept, but it's hard to do. You got to live the gospel.
Exactly. That's what authenticity is, right? And as fail time and time again, as we will, we're blessed. Jesus knew where we were. A sheep is the dumbest animal created, they say. No wonder he calls us the sheep. And that's why he knew we'll never make it home to him without the sacramental life of the church. And how blessed we are, huh?
True. So true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so true. Gosh, I'd be lost.
Oh, absolutely.
I might be living in a nice house and everything, but I'd be lost.
Me too, true. Father. Me too.
The thing that really hit me over the Christmas break was I was really meditating on the title of Christ as Savior. Mm. You know, like, I'm at my best when I acknowledge Him to be my Savior.
Mm.
Because what I'm acknowledging then is I'm acknowledging my sins, and I know I can't save myself from those sins. You know, I need Him to save me from this. And so I find myself, when I'm acknowledging Him as my Savior, I find myself surrendering more.
Mm.
It's when He's just simply a teacher to me that it's nice, you know, but when He's my Savior,
yeah,
that's all I need. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I say all the time, one of my grandsons just recently, he was sharing and talking. He's from, it just started while he's home on break from Franciscan University. Him and his girlfriend and another young man from the parish went to Monsignor and asked if they could start a holy hour for young adults. And Father, it tripled. From the time they started till now. Now they'll be going back to school, but they hope it stays in place. And I think it has a lot to do with that. Like, we need a Savior. There's no other name under heaven or earth that can ever save us but Jesus, His name. And when I think of what you just said, when you remind yourself of that, it gives us hope. And that's what I was telling him. I said, you know, we can't, if it stops because you're not there any longer, you have to remember it's the Savior. It's Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's who they need. And as long as you have focused on that, then don't worry about it. Place it in God's hands, and that work will continue. And then when you come home on break, you can start up the prayer and praise with it again, as you were doing. But that's it. It's all His work. He's the one that brings it into fruition. All that He calls us to do, we couldn't even do it. The call is grace. And the work is pure grace. We're going to take a little break. Can you stay around? I'm going to open up the phone lines. Okay. Let me give out our phone number. 2906, 610-527-2906. Also, you can call toll-free. This is going out globally over the internet. You can also email us. The phone number toll-free is 1-888-34-FAITH. So not only is this going out tri-state, Father Matt, but you're on the web now. It's going out globally.
Are we out of space?
You're out of space. We're out of space. There you go. That's where we're at. Don't go away. My brothers and sisters will be right back.
This is Mike Balmazy of Villa Joseph Marie High School. I've been a listener to Kathleen McCarthy and her radio station and his sign ministry for years. And I can never say enough good things about Kathleen. Her insightfulness, her dedication to the church, her love of the Holy Spirit, and the beautiful way she expresses herself as a daughter of the church and as a daughter of Mary deserves to be listened to, deserves to be praised. And I can't encourage you more than to do what you can for New Side Ministry. God bless.
Have you ever heard of seed faith? The biblical law of sowing and reaping? Many people fail when it comes to faith for finances, because they haven't planted any seed. Any farmer knows that if you want a good crop, you have to first sow the seed. The Bible speaks about seed right from the beginning in Genesis, and it's brought up all throughout the Scriptures. In the second book of Corinthians, we are told that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Why not consider sowing your financial seed into In His Sign Catholic Radio, a ministry with a 30-year history? You should sow your financial seed into a ministry that produces good fruit. Luke tells us at chapter 6, verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You should sow your financial seeds where you're fed, be it here, your local parish, or other worthy ministries. Please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010. Or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Well, we're back again. You are listening to The Holy Spirit Is With You. And blessed today to have a wonderful young priest with us today. How do you like that, young priest. And, of course, that's that's Father Matt Guckin, who's just a joy to my heart, good friend, and a gift to the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And we were just talking about being authentic witnesses, about a personal relationship with the Lord, and to know that, yes, by virtue of our baptism, we're all called. A priest is called in a very special way. And all the ways that Father Matt recognizes that in himself. I wanted to talk a little bit about, I know you're planning a pilgrimage. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that and how it came about? And this is your third trip, were you telling me?
It is, yeah. We're leaving on Wednesday, actually. I think there's about 120 of us who are going from across the country. I got involved with Jeff Cadens, you know, in his ministry.
Yep.
A number of years ago through a friend of mine, Father Chris Walsh, who I've mentioned a couple times already.
I know Father Chris.
Chris said he'd give me $10 every time I mentioned him.
I'll say him all the time.
Up to $30. So I went back in 2011 for the first time as like an assistant. Then 2014, and now 3 years later again, it's 2017. This time I'm going to be with Jeff leading the pilgrimage through the Holy Land, and a friend of mine, Father Anthony DiGuglielmo, is going to be joining us. He's the assistant pastor at St. Ignatius in Yardley. I'm really excited about it. We leave on Wednesday. We'll be in Tel Aviv. We fly direct from Newark to Tel Aviv. And then we're going to, and I can't all the big sites. We're going to start off in Mount Carmel. At the place, I think it's 2 Kings 19. It's one of my favorite passages from sacred scripture, where Elijah and the prophets of Baal were to contend with one another about whose God is better. And Elijah taunts the prophets, saying, well, maybe your God, maybe he's sleeping. They wanted a holocaust to erupt there on Mount Carmel. So we're going to start in Mount Carmel and offer our first prayers to the one true God. We're going to go spend the initial part of our trip in a kibbutz around the Sea of Galilee. So we'll hit all the sites around the Sea of Galilee, Capernaum, Tiberias, Caesarea Philippi, Magdala is going to be one of the places we first go to. It's a recent archaeological dig in Magdala. It's in the hometown of St. Mary Magdalene. I mean, they just unearthed it about 5 years ago. So we'll be saying Mass there. They have a brand new church right on the Sea of Galilee. We'll go to the Mount of Beatitudes, Mount Tabor, Mount of Beatitudes, where the Beatitudes were first proclaimed, and Mount Tabor, where Jesus was transfigured. Then we'll work our way down south. We'll go to the Dead Sea. Last time I was there, it was just sick. Now it's dead. The poor attempt at humor, I guess. Why I'm a priest. And then we'll spend time in Bethlehem, you know, where our Lord was born, and then all through Jerusalem and the various sites in Jerusalem, and then wind up going to Emmaus on our last day for Mass, and then the port city of Jaffa, which is right next to Tel Aviv, and then fly home, I think, on the 24th. But I'm also was able to write a grant in bringing up two people. One of them is our school minister at St. Hubert's, Cordy McHale, and another is a theology teacher, Dan McCarthy, from Lansdale Catholic. It's a nice contingent. We're able to get grants for them, which is helpful.
Yes.
So it's not a cheap trip. And so what they're going to be doing with their respective communities is they're going to be uploading videos to YouTube for prayers, and they'll be used in the religion classes. So they'll be on-site from the Sea of Galilee or on-site from the place of our Lord's birth in Bethlehem and that sort of thing. What I'm doing is, I don't know if you're aware of this, Kathleen, but as hard as this is to believe, it was 25 years ago this year that the Catechism of the Catholic Church was promulgated, John Paul's Catechism.
Yes.
So we're going to be doing a couple of things out of my office to commemorate that. One of the things we're doing is, from the Holy Land, we're going to be doing little videos called Catechism Connections. And so, for example, I'll do like a 1 or 2 minute video from the Jordan River talking about baptism. I'll do a 1 or 2 minute video from Cana talking about the sacrament of matrimony.
Wow.
And I'll tie it into the catechism. And we're going to do probably about 8 or 10 of those. And then my office is also sponsoring an event in June called Tradition, which is really a celebration of the catechism. So we're having speakers for each of the 4 sections of the catechism. And Jeff Cavins, being a friend, he was gracious enough to say he'd be our keynote speaker. But Dr. Scott Hahn is going to be part of it, talking about Scripture.
Mm.
Sister Mary, Mother Mary Assumpta Long, from Michigan, is coming, and she's going to be talking about prayer. So we're really excited about it. That'll be on June 19th across from my office at the Sheraton in Center City, Philadelphia. So that's going to be, again, celebrating the promulgation of the silver anniversary of the Catechism. But I don't know if I answered your question fully regarding our trip to the pilgrimage.
You did.
You know, it's just, that's going to be, there's going to be long days, you know, long lines, hot days, you know, when you're down by the Dead Sea.
Oh, I bet.
You know, it's probably going to be in the high 80s, low 90s. But then you get up to Jerusalem, which I think is about 2,500 feet above sea level. That is, then you get cold and damp days. You have to pack for everything, and you're dealing with a different diet and traveling with 120 other people. And we're staying in a kibbutz when we're up north and then in a hotel. But it's all so exciting. You've done pilgrimages before.
Yep.
You know what that's like. It's not, we're not going to be tourists. We're pilgrims.
Yes.
You know, and in that sense, it's a reflection of life itself, isn't it?
It really is, Father. So. It really is. You know, it's quite different, isn't it? I mean, I've been blessed. I've really been blessed to, you talk about you were not the best student, and God in His wisdom chose you.
I'm surprised I have a high school diploma.
Well, I don't. And I just let that out over the air. That doesn't, but I don't. And and here, who did the Lord send? I mean, He has sent me all over the world. I've gotten calls everywhere to go speak. And when I was in Fatima year ago, October, one of the things I noticed myself, when you're a speaker, it's so much different, you know? It's so completely different, no matter where you've been, whether it's been in the Caribbean or France or wherever. When you are on a pilgrimage, it's totally different. You're not in the best restaurant. You're not in. I mean, this is totally different. When they invite you to come speak, fly in, fly out. It's a meeting beautiful people, of course, but it's very different. But a pilgrimage, there's something so special. You know, you're on holy ground the minute you get together and join with your group. And you know that God has a purpose and a plan, not only for that mission, but for the mission He's called you for individually. And there, that is very, very different to be on a pilgrimage. It's hard to put into words.
But whenever you get done, you feel so blessed, don't you?
Yeah.
No matter how hard it was.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I also happen to know, don't want to embarrass you, but I will if I have to.
I'm used to it. I worked with high school kids for many years. I'm used to it.
I know that you write for Ascension Press. And how long have you been doing that? How'd that come about?
I was there actually earlier this morning.
Wow.
It was my time at Bishop Shanahan. Matt Pinto, he and I had known each other. You know, Matt's the president.
Yes.
And he asked if I would, a few years ago, join Ascension Press as their spiritual director, as their chaplain.
Right.
And, you know, they're based in Exton. So I discerned it, and so it's been great. It's been a real, I was just there today.
Huh.
Once a month I'm there giving spiritual conferences to the whole staff, and it's kind of neat. If you're given the conference, there's about 40 people in front of you. But then, you know, they have all these remote locations, and they're on the vanguard of technology. And so it is being beamed out to their remote locations all over the country, all over North America.
Right.
So today's conference I did on charity, and then I celebrate Mass for them, and then we usually have lunch together. So it's been a great relationship. I've been involved a little bit in strategic planning for Ascension, for the new products as well. So I very, very much feel part of their community.
Yeah. Too. Look what the Lord has done with your life. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it, when you take a look and you see when you first really felt the Lord calling you deeper, to come out into the deep. I know you'll agree with me that it's always new. It's we'll never arrive. He'll always call us deeper. And for you, do you find the same way? I mean, when I look what God has done with my life, I'm amazed at the grace that has just been poured into my heart, my mind, and my pure grace. The saying, I am what I am before God and nothing more. And and I'm amazed always to see what God has done with somebody that, I mean, I have no education yet. I have spoken at some of the most marvelous places in the world. That is grace, pure grace. Step back and say, wow, you know that you are a broken person. You know you're a sinful person. And yet, as you say, he writes straight with a crooked line. Do you ever think about that? That God's doing in your life, does it ever hit you?
First of all, let me thank you, because we all need a Nathan, right, in our lives.
Right.
David needed Nathan to make him great. And you, what you just said, I haven't thought of it in a little while. And you need somebody just to remind you of God's involvement in your life. And, you know, we all get so busy doing whatever it is that we've been charged with doing. And sometimes you don't, like, sort of take your head out of the ground and, like, look around and say, oh my gosh, how the heck did I do this? So your words right there, like, for example, when I was first felt the call, the priesthood, I was in business. And in fact, I was on a business trip in Phoenix. And I had a beautiful experience of reconciliation in Phoenix, Arizona. And I was 26 years old. It was the first time in my life that I remember thinking, you know what, I could see myself doing that with my life.
Wow.
And then I remember thinking, I'm too old. You know, I'm 26 years old. And then I got to the seminary, and I found out, I was 27 when I entered the seminary. I found out that the average age was 27, the guys in the seminary,
yep,
in the early 90s. So I didn't feel like, a fish out of water. I felt very much at home. But when I look back over that, even the job, Kathleen, that I have now, I was pretty comfortable at Bishop Shanahan. I had a nice gig there.
Right.
I was at St. Joe's in Downeytown in the parish,
yeah,
which was great, great, great parish. And I was very involved in the parish. I was very established at Bishop Shanahan, loved the young people there. And my coworkers, the teachers, were very good, competent, good people. And I remember when Bishop Fitzgerald approached me on the job regarding this job that they were creating. And my instinct was, why would I give this up? This is kind of sweet.
Yep.
So, and then I just thought, working with my spiritual director, I need to step out and be stretched.
And
he said, go out, as John Paul waxed so eloquently on, go out into the deep and catch your net, throw your net, and prepare for a catch.
Yeah.
Like, and that kept coming back to me, John Paul's theology on that. Like, okay, like, I need to put the gospel to the test here.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm just guilty of careerism. The Pope, the present Pope, just is always condemning.
Yes.
So I agree with you. I think it's good. It's one of the nice things about the job that I have is that I do meet, I'm responsible for supporting our priests and education, and I do meet with them, and every now and then I'll challenge them to say, you know what, it might be time to move on. Because I was there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I went through that already. It might be time to move on. And the initial reaction of them is, well, no, I'm doing a good job here. But this actually might be good for you. The other thing I thought of, too, when Bishop Fitzgerald asked me to do this job, I remember thinking at some point, you know what, it's not fair that I have this assignment all to myself for so long. Like, in other words, I should share this good assignment with somebody else.
Yeah.
Now, that might seem like I'm being falsely altruistic, but I really did. That thought did go through my mind. Like, you know what, this isn't fair that I should hog up this experience. And the guy who took my place is doing a phenomenal job. So, well, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the... And the other thing, too, is it's good for the people to see a different expression of Christ's priesthood.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's not my priesthood. It's not Father Donia's priesthood or Father Nordeman's priesthood. It's Christ's priesthood, and we all share in it.
That's beautiful.
And we all have different gifts. So, I know I'm yapping away here. I just have so much to say.
You do, and that's why you're going to have to come back. But... I just seized the moment. We tried to do this a few times, and then when the other day you said, want to try again? I was like, yes. And so I'm glad that we got it in before your trip, and because when you come back, you'll have a lot to share about that, I would imagine. I've never been to the Holy Land. And I know God's time, I'll be there one day. But everybody that I have talked to, all my friends, family, everybody I've ever spoken to, said that, you know, Kathleen, you love God's word so much. Mm-hmm. And when you preach that word, you feel it. So it comes alive. You should walk the grounds there and wait till you see. You'll never read scripture the same way. You'll never experience a story in the Gospels that you won't recall. I walked there. I stood there. I cried there. I went into that water. So I one day would love to be there.
Okay, I will keep that in mind, you know, as we move forward. I should have let you know. I did put it on Facebook, though.
Yeah.
You know, that I was going to go. But it's tough, and it's not cheap, either.
Yeah.
Let me say this regarding when you go there, one of the things that they promote the geography as is the, they call it the fifth gospel. That the geography is the fifth gospel, and the topography is the sixth gospel. And that doesn't make any sense until you get there. So, for example, one of the places we're going to go to is Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus made Peter the Pope.
Right.
So when you're reading in the Gospel, you know, the Gospels are written economically, so they're not telling you every nook and cranny of the geography.
Right.
You just don't pick it up. But when you actually make the trip from the Sea of Galilee to Caesarea Philippi, it's like a 45-minute trip in the bus. So that means that Jesus took the apostles far away to ask a very important question.
Wow.
Who do you say that I am? Like, in other words, I think of that with all the retreat work that I do. You do have to get away to say, well, who is Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is he the king? Well, so is Elvis. Like, who is he? You know what I mean? And so just that. And the other thing, too, about Caesarea Philippi is when you get there, it was a temple for Greek worship of their gods. And there's this big rock, and it was the god Pan. But what makes it so interesting is that Christ said to Peter, you are the rock.
Yeah.
And he said it standing in front of this huge, I mean like a 40-foot-high rock.
Wow.
And really, to make a point. You know, like so, but that's not conveyed by the words alone. So that when you go, and it's full of experiences like that when you go, whoa, okay, this changes. This gives it even more meaning.
Yes, yeah.
That's why they call it the fifth gospel, and the geography and the topography they call the sixth gospel. So the topography is like when you go to the top of, say, Mount Tabor, where Jesus was transfigured. It's a hike. I mean, it's hard to get up there when you're driving. I can only imagine you know, Jesus taking Peter, James, and John to the top of it walking.
Imagine.
I mean, he really had something to tell them there. I'm excited about it, obviously.
Oh, I can't wait till you come back, because right now it's by osmosis that I'll learn all this. and so I'm blessed to know that you are going. And, Father, we only have about 4 minutes left.
Okay.
And before you give us the official blessing of the church, if there's one thing you'd like to convey to all of our listeners today about this new year, a new beginning, a new opportunity, what would you like to say?
Mm. It's so simple. And that's this, that you, and I'm talking to everyone who's listening right now, as well as you, Kathleen, you are loved.
Wow.
That's the message of Christmas, isn't it? Like,
it is.
Well, how much do you love me? Okay. I'm gonna come and be born into a place where animals eat. That's how much I love you.
Yeah.
You know? I'm going to surrender the glory of heaven and be born in a damp, smelly old cave. That's how much I love you.
Beautiful.
You know, so you're loved. I'm loved.
That's it in a nutshell.
And you know, when we get that, Kathleen, we get everything.
Amen.
You know, and I mean everything on a spiritual level, on a psychological level, on every level. Physical level.
Mm-hmm.
When we really come to understand how much we're loved, it changes us. It transforms us. You know, and then we in turn are able to transform the world around us.
That's right. That's right.
Beauty of it all.
Well, Father, we've come to the end of the program. It went too fast. We'll set up a time when you come home, give you some rest time, and then we'll do this again. Could we have your blessing, please?
Sure. I ask everyone listening just to bow your heads, unless you're driving. Almighty God, come before you on this feast of St. John Newman. I ask you to pour forth your blessing upon all of our listeners, upon Kathleen and her ministry. Let them know how much they're loved. Fill them with strength. Fill them with your spirit, so that they may be your disciples and bring the world to the saving love of God. And may Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father,
thanks so much. Thank you.
It's been a blessing to have you. And my brothers and sisters, if you're away from the church, come on home, because we're not complete without you. God bless you, Father.
God bless, Kathleen.